Saga Egmont presents Instructions for the Working Day by Joanna Campbell. Read by John Sackville. Shall we never, never get rid of this past? It lies upon the present like a giant's dead body. Nathaniel Hawthorne, The House of the Seven Gables. Chapter 1. Neil Fisher drives with his window down, the warm air lifting the hairs on his arms. Dust blows in, making his eyes water. The sun shimmers on the tarmac, softening it enough to melt. His car could sink without anyone noticing. The last time he was on this road, his father was driving. Neil was 12. He sat in the back seat with his little sister, Kirsten. Their mother sat in the front, wearing a pink straw hat. The moment she wound her window down, it was whipped away. Neil watched it cartwheeling out of sight. A girl in a white T-shirt and jeans wide enough to waft in the breeze is standing by the roadside, holding her thumb out. Neil has never picked anyone up before. When he slows down, the car feels even warmer. It was about here, shortly after his mother lost her hat, that his father spotted an agitated man wanting a lift. He pulled up and told Neil's mother to squeeze into the back with the children. The man bounced about in the front seat, shot it backwards into Neil's knees, and unfolded a ventriloquist dummy from his holdall. Kirsten crawled onto their mother's lap. The man twisted round and made the dummy say, "Thank you." It had a varnished face with startled eyes and only spoke German. It talked for the entire hour the man was in the car. Neil thought it might be telling jokes, because his father kept laughing. Their mother cried into his sister's hair. Neil's father changed their plans. He decided they would spend the night at a guest house the dummy had recommended. It was beside a small lake with an artificial beach. Neil imagined plastic shells and wondered if Kirsten would be allowed to pick them up for her collection. They might be glued in place, or perhaps he would have to pay. His mother clutched her handbag and stared ahead, letting her eyes brim over, as if she wanted everything to blur and soften. The guest house was expensive. They had to share a room with two single beds. His father made them lie down in different combinations. The best fit was for Kirsten to sleep with him, Neil with his mother. In the restaurant, the fresh trout was out of the question because it cost too much. They had to order small bowls of chips and cucumber salad. Kirsten let the white dressing drip off her spoon onto the tablecloth. Their father frowned. Beneath the table, he wrapped her knee with the spoon, while their mother dabbed the stain with her serviette. When the fruit salad arrived, their father managed to smile. He recalled the years when oranges and bananas were hard to come by in East Germany. Fruit was still a treat for him, he said 3 times. Neil's mother said he should help himself to as much as he liked. They were all too full of chips, she told him. Neil would have liked a few cherries, but he did not mention it. Kirsten gripped the tablecloth draping over her lap. She bunched it in her hands. Her eyelashes were wet. She looked up when their father said they would be going to the beach straight away. "But it's the evening," their mother said. "Indeed it is. How observant of you." Back in the room, Neil's mother unpacked their towels. She said it would take a minute to find everyone's swimming costumes. She pointed out that both Kirsten and Neil were yawning. "This place is for families," Neil's father told her. "There are children younger than 4 out there. And what big boy of 12 needs his bed at 8 o'clock? They were all going to stay up for sunset, for the mauve and apricot sky. They must hurry. The little beach was filling up. They would not need swimming costumes anyway. Everyone here was naked. The girl in the white T-shirt crouches to smile at Neil, her hands flat on the passenger window. He opens it for her. "Berlin?" she says. Berlin is out of his way, but he can take her about 50 kilometers closer. She shrugs off her backpack and slides into the seat. Her long hair swings, brushing his bare arm. Her soft, doughy cheeks remind him of Kirsten, who is 20 now. He has not seen her for years, not since she moved to Birmingham.